Hello and welcome. I'm Siobhan Sarna, and this is Stephen Wright. We're going to be learning today about stomach acid. Ooh, it's so sexy, isn't it? Not really, but it is, because if you do not feel well from stomach acid imbalances, you know that that whole date night is over before it even started, right? I am thrilled to share with you this gentleman. He is an engineer by craft, and he just was talking before I hit the record button about how he's been educating people about gut health since 2009. He set the pace for a lot of other people in the world of online education, and has really been innovating information about leaky gut and about stomach acid and about digestive enzymes. We're going to talk a little bit about all of that, but I want to get started right now, Stephen, with what is the fastest way to feel better with our gut, which is basically the topic of today. And tell us a little bit about your story too, because I know there are a lot of people who are new and haven't been introduced to you yet. And your story is extremely inspiring, a little depressing, but also ultimately uplifting.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me back on, Siobhan. Hello to everybody from around the world. So I think, like many of the people on this call, I've had digestive issues pretty much my whole life. If you were a doctor and you took my family history, you would say, has a family history of IBS. Many people in my family have digestive issues. I did not know they were normal, even though my family knew that I was the stinkiest. And by the time I was graduating high school, my nickname in my family was the gas man. So that's like my family, right? That's not even the rest of the world. So I've had bloating and gas pretty much my whole life, until I started to basically have the world tell me, look, if you want to keep your job, if you want to go on dates and actually stay in the world, you're going to have to fix these digestive issues, because my coworkers reported me to my boss for being the guy who was stinking up the office. And my boss was like, if you want to keep this job, you're going to have to do something. And so, being a man, while I am extremely sensitive, and I'm okay saying that, I still was very resistant to go to the doctor, and that kind of like broke me through. And so I went and sought a bunch of advice in Chicago. And at the time, this was 2009. And luckily they did do, genetic testing for celiac disease, and they ruled that out, which is pretty cool back then. However, they just told me, like, at the end of the day, look, man, you're like 24, you're not that sick. Just suck it up. You have genetic predisposition for IBS, take Metamucil. You can have anybody or any amount of antibiotics you'd like, and you should eat more whole grains. Well, I had already ended up in the hospital due to taking antibiotics too long for my cystic acne in college. And so I was already anti-antibiotic, but not because of the things we know about them now, just because I had taken them for 3 years and woken up in the hospital, and they told me that you shouldn't take antibiotics that long. These answers didn't work for me, and I continued to have alternating constipation, diarrhea. And so I just got really angry and started seeking other ideas. My college education is in electrical engineering, which is basically just applied mathematics to things you can't see. And if you touch them, you get electrocuted. So I figured the body's pretty complex. You can't really see and touch it either. I should be able to apply the same style of thinking to the body and just find people who've had success, because I can't be the only person in the world who's had these issues. And I was right. Millions of us have these issues, and there are ways to get away from them, to heal them, to overcome them, to live with them in harmony. And you do need to find people usually who've suffered like you. And so that put me on 14 years now, and changing my diet, learning, going to functional medicine school with Kalish Institute. And also, I just happen to be somebody who orders random products that I read about in scientific journals, or I read about on message boards from literally around the world, Asia, Russia, wherever. I'm agnostic when it comes to compounds, and I like to test them on my body and see what happens, because I do believe in the big breakthrough, the big win still, even though I've tried this hundreds of times and failed the majority of them. But the cool thing is I get to tell other people about it when they work, and then I get to, get a little shot of dopamine when I try to help somebody.
Well, you've done a great job. You're like one of the original biohackers. And, Stephen, helped me with my first summit, the SIBO SOS summit way back in the day. And it's been an appreciation fest on my part towards him ever since. And the thing is that when I have a weird question about something, and I have a lot of weird questions, I will be like, hey, what's up with this? And he'll be like, oh yeah, I read this Russian study, and on and on and on. So you're in good hands from a variety of perspectives. But Stephen, when it comes to stomach acid, which is sort of one of the, you know, highlights of today's talk, what do we need to know? I know that I was on Prilosec, the little purple pill, for 7 years before I figured out that I had IBS, SIBO. I was just told I had IBS, but like when I say I've figured out I had IBS, what that really means is nothing, because it is a diagnosis of exclusion. Although Dr. Mark Pimentel now has a blood test for it, which is another conversation. But when I finally did the HCL challenge, I was able, after 3 attempts, to finally, and once and for all, get off of my Prilosec, and it totally changed my life. So I want everyone to know your tips and what we need to be thinking about. And I'm making up my own story. It's individual results of vary, and I'm not making a medical claim, but I want to know ideas for people who are struggling the way I certainly was.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of exciting conversations. Like, it's much more exciting to talk about this new killing protocol for SIBO or yeast or some scary, some sort of scary bug that's going to, you know, eat us up or break us down, or I don't know. It's also much more exciting to talk about.
Because all I can think of is the TikTok parasite trend. Oh boy, who knew?
Sorry. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, everything from liver flukes to the greatest new probiotic. Those are all the cool things to like shock you and, you know, try to get you all excited about the new one hit wonder that will probably likely leave you not farther along. And I've tried many of them. Trust me, I have. So the thing that I want to do today is teach you a little bit and also offer a breakthrough, at least one, maybe two. The thing that is crazy is that the first people writing about low stomach acid online were was a coach in Charles Poliquin, who had over 100 Olympian athletes under his care. Like, he was the trainer and the performance coach for these Olympians. And he was writing about how he would have all these Olympians come to him and be like, I'm a bronze, I'm a silver, I want to be a gold. And so his job is to make gold medalists. And he wrote on his blog, not only about training, but also about digestion, and how he would universally almost find all of them were having low stomach acid, and then therefore not getting enough protein, and then therefore not able to compete at the highest levels. And if it's good enough for an Olympian, trust me, it's good enough for the rest of us. And that's kind of what I found over my years, is that when you're in a chronic state of ill health, the demands on your body are the same as if you're trying to push performance to the maximum. And so just like Olympians need a lot of protein, they need the right stomach acid, so do those of us who are trying to dig our way out of chronic conditions. And so hopefully you can like get a little excited about stomach acid, because what the research shows is that when we give people proton pump inhibitors long-term, their odds of osteoporosis, their odds of SIBO, their odds of neurodegenerative diseases, their odds of low B12 and other amino acid deficiencies all go up. And so despite having heartburn and acid reflux myself for a while, and despite popping Tums myself and realizing like, oh, that's the fast way out of this and all of that, I read a book by Dr. Jonathan Wright early on when I was trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And he was one of the first pioneers to say, hold on, why don't we challenge the marketing that the pharmaceutical companies are putting out there? And let's, if you have acid reflux, let's actually test you. Let's actually put it to the test and see if you have low stomach acid or high, even though it feels like high. And even though for almost universally, when we give you an acid suppressor, it goes down. So they would do these studies in their clinics. And then Dr. Steven Sandberg Lewis, who you've had on your show a few times, was a mentor of mine for a while. And both of these guys are doing these studies in different clinics, and they're finding like 70 to 80% of their patients who report heartburn, who report IBS, actually test in low stomach acid. And this is in the 90s, in the early 2000s. And no one's really kind of picked up that research lineage and run with it yet, because there's not a lot of money there. But I'm here to tell you that new research is literally coming out every year suggesting that this high acid state, the stomach not having the proper acidification, is literally setting you up for food allergies. It's setting you up for environmental allergies. It's setting you up for low energy, probably later on, you're going to have neurodegenerative stuff because you're not getting enough amino acids, and your immune system is down. In fact, there was a study in 2020, and Siobhan's been asking me to put together a slide deck and I didn't have time, so I apologize. But there was a study in 2020 that basically showed, they did over 200 people. They took their gastric juices out of them after fasting all night. Those of them who had a pH less than 2 and those versus those who had a pH over 4, the people who had a pH over 4 had 2,000 times, not 2,000%, which would be 20 times, but 2,000 times more lipopolysaccharides flowing into their small intestine. And if you've heard any of the talks on the chronic conditions website, the Healing CEOs, you know, everybody who's talking about, we do not want LPS in our small intestine or in our body. And just having the wrong resting stomach acid could be like damaging all the rest of your hopes and dreams around healing. And so that's where I'm hoping to help you today with this issue that could be affecting like 70, 80% of the over 400 people on this call right now.
And counting. You know, there's this heart doctor that I really like on YouTube, and I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry. And he was just talking about LPS and how it leads to thickening of the arteries and how they're connecting it to Alzheimer's. So, I mean, this is so, not to mention the like cytokine storms and leaky gut and all of that. So thank you, Stephen, for mentioning that in such a powerful way. So, okay. Many of us must have low stomach acid. What are the symptoms and what can we do about it?
Yeah. So the symptoms, we'll talk about the symptoms, because typically you can use like a symptom questionnaire to get you pretty close to letting you know if you have it. But I know there's a lot of data geeks, and I still am one, but I've learned that testing only goes so far after doing many hundreds of thousands of dollars of it. Basically, I'll walk you through the tests, I'll walk you through the symptoms, and then we can start from there.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Telltale symptom that you have low stomach acid. If you want to eat meat or you want to have protein, but you eat it and you feel like extra full for a very long time, or you feel like there's a brick sitting in your like mid chest region or your abdomen, and it just doesn't go away. That's like almost a dead giveaway. You have low stomach acid. Number two, you have a lot of burping, especially like an hour or two after a meal. Like you're just very burpy. That's not normal. Typically that's gas coming up from the fermentation of your stomach, not processing your food correctly and dumping into your small intestine. So burping, like desire for protein, but inability to break down protein, especially like a chicken breast or red meat, like a steak, things like that. Other telltale signs of low stomach acid include typically heartburn or IBS. So like if you are having heartburn, there's of course a number of factors that cause heartburn, but low stomach acid is a high risk factor because the food actually sits in your stomach and then makes gas as it ferments, because it's just like a jug of kombucha or whatever. It's going to get gassy in there, and it's closer to your mouth than it is to your butt. So it's going to come up. Another thing is recurrent gut infections. So if you're somebody who's been trying to get rid of SIBO for 2 years now or multiple rounds, you're somebody who's been trying to get rid of parasites, these types of things, typically that's saying that there's something going on in your stomach as well as your prokinetic waves. And so that's a pretty solid sign that you got something going on there.
Can I just interject one thing?
Yeah.
So that lower esophageal sphincter, right? That's where like you can feel that acid pop up. When you have that food creating gas, it's like a pressure that can, you know, pop that up. So just wanted to connect that one little dot about that. There are a lot of other reasons, but I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. Yeah. The sphincter is actually, I think it's kind of cool. It's actually kind of like, I don't know the right analogy, but it basically closes and opens like from the middle outward. And so pressure upward will actually start to to pressurize it outward and open. So it's not like a perfect seal, like a cap on a kombucha top or anything like that. If you create too much pressure in your stomach, it's going to open up and come back up. And so, you know, there are people out there with, you know, esophageal flap issues. They have Barrett's esophagus. They have various deterioration in that area of the body, which is typically started with low stomach acid. That's kind of what you see. If you've been doing GI disorders long enough, if you're a integrative or functional medicine doctor listening to this, you could probably just raise your hand and say yes or no. Maybe I'm wrong, but my experience the last 10 years is that it starts with low stomach acid, and then the condition doesn't get corrected. And then, like, you know, 5-10 years later, you're starting to have ulcers, you're starting to have Barrett's esophagus. And then typically your risk factor for cancers and other things goes through the roof after that, the next 10 years. And so if we can catch it in that first chunk of time, I think there's a really good opportunity to deal with it, reverse it. If you have H. pylori infection, this is almost a dead giveaway. You're going to have low stomach acid because the H. pylori actually gives off signaling molecules to shut down acid production. That's what I had during my time. Also, if you have low magnesium, calcium, zinc, this type of thing, if you have testing to show that, it's really hard to make stomach acid if you don't have minerals, and those are the minerals that are needed, B vitamins as well. So I would essentially say, if you're experiencing GI issues of any type, or if you're experiencing chronic health conditions of any type, it's worthy of doing like a symptoms checklist and or a test, because the chances are pretty high. Again, I would say 70 to 80% that you have low stomach acid, even if you don't feel heartburn, like even if you don't feel it. And that's the crazy thing, is that you could be just walking around with somebody who has that pH of a 5, and you're eating this really amazing diet, you're doing all these supplements, but you're still secretly dumping 2,000 times more LPS into your stomach just from your oral microbiome. You can't, I mean, you can brush your teeth and floss all you want, you will always have an oral microbiome, and that will always be going into your stomach. And the stomach is supposed to detoxify it with the proper level of stomach acid, which is below a 2. And just having this one thing kind of off, you could be under the gun every single day, 24 hours a day. And so that's why I think this thing could be the fastest breakthrough for a lot of folks, because it's really cheap to find out if you have it and if you're going to benefit from supporting it. And it's universally something we're all dealing with, just like the water and the air.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you test? How do you test?
So there's tests available around the world. They're usually $400 to $600, and they're pretty hard to get, normally not covered by insurance. One of them is called a Heidelberg test. That's like the oldest and most accepted. However, there's new cool tests where there's a GI pill capsule test where you actually swallow a pill that has like a transmitter and some other technology, and you poop it out and got to try to collect it. Some of them you collect it, some of them you don't. Anyways, these tests will literally measure your stomach acid in response to your daily life or in response to a challenge. But again, it's typically $300 to $600, and you got to find the right person who does these all the time in their clinic, because it's not readily available. Because of that, because of the treatment for low acid is to replace the acid, most people in the world have kind of just said, well, why don't you try the treatment and see if it works? Because if it works, then we've just confirmed it. We've cut down, 3 to 4 weeks of time and a couple hundred dollars, and you could get it figured out for less than $50 in a week. And so that is what you alluded to in the beginning, which is the HCL challenge.
Before we get into what the HCL challenge is, please don't do anything without talking to your doctor. If your doctor says you need to be on blah, then, work with that practitioner. Maybe you're like, I want to see what a functional practitioner is going to say. Maybe you need to switch practitioners. We're not saying to drop a medication. We are not getting medical advice, and on and on and on. We are simply giving you educational resources for you to acquire more information that makes making decisions easier and better and a different perspective. So that being said is my big disclaimer. And if you have Barrett's esophagus, or hiatal hernia, and you're on a daily Prilosec, I worry that this is causing low stomach acid. It probably is, but there are guaranteed. Reasons.
That's
what it does. Yeah. But my doc says I need to be on an acid. What do you recommend? So just get educated and do your research. But that is a serious medical condition. Barrett's esophagus. I had pre-Barrett's, so I really can appreciate what you're going through. So I just wanted to do like this massive disclaimer. And Kaya, I see what you're saying about what Dr. Pimentel says. I'll address that in a second. Let's get to the challenge test, Steve, because I know a lot of people are like,
let's talk about who shouldn't do the challenge test. Number one, do you have an active ulcer? If you have an active ulcer, this basically means that the condition inside your stomach has gotten so bad that you've worn through the acid barrier. Now you've worn through the mucosal barrier, and now your sort of skin layer, your stomach skin layer, is pissed off and really mad and maybe bleeding or something bad. So if you have an active ulcer, a lot of times you're going to have to actually shut off acid production for 3 to 12 weeks or something like that to allow the mucosal barrier to heal. And then maybe after that, you can retrain the acid strength, but don't do it if you have a active ulcer. If you have Barrett's esophagus or pre-Barrett's or something like that, do not do it. Talk with your doctor. It's not that it can't be done. It's just that each individual condition needs to be, you have to have a full family history. You have to look at what's going on in this body and take it, you know, kind of serious, because you've already had like solid amount of damage to this area of your body. So we're not talking about those people. Hiatal hernias, that's less of an issue, but again, you'll probably want to walk with a naturopath or somebody that can help you fix that hiatal hernia. There are techniques and manipulations and things like that. You can help change it over time, but you again have allowed more damage to your body than somebody with just low stomach acid or just heartburn. And so you're going to need more care essentially from somebody else. So those people aside, I'm sorry, we can talk more about those people near the end of this. For the rest of us, you're just going to obtain a betaine HCL supplement that has at least 500 milligrams of betaine HCL and pepsin in it. Pepsin is the protease protein inside of your gastric juices. And so it's thought that when you have low stomach acid, you typically have low pepsin release as well. So typically the combo product works the best. And you're literally going to just buy the supplement. You can buy it from me. You can buy it from like 100 other companies. And you're going to take one with your dinner. Now, hopefully this dinner is not a protein shake. This is a meal of some type with some sort of protein, vegetable, or animal based. It doesn't matter. And what you'll do is you'll just wait. Take it at the beginning of your meal, take it halfway through, or take it right at the end. It doesn't really matter. The ideal timing technically would be right at the first bite, because technically how stomach acid works is our smell triggers a bunch of releases, including histamine. And part of that triggering starts to create acidification and acid rushing into your stomach. And so taking it technically with your first bite would be the ideal timing of this. If you do not feel anything like an hour or 2 hours later, typically that's going to suggest that you have low acid. If you feel some sort of heat or heartburn or like loose stools or something like that, if you feel the heat or the pain or whatever, you can just take baking soda, a teaspoon of baking soda and water, drink that down. It'll nullify the acid. Most people who feel this condition either have normal acid or they have some sort of gastritis, because a lot of stomachs can handle extra acid without being mad or pissed off. And so if you're having those conditions, I would suggest you look into maybe doing like a course of DGL or something, or look into your mucosal pathways just to kind of try to heal your mucous membrane. But the majority of people won't notice much. They won't feel much. They might feel slightly faster digestion, things like that. And then the next day you'll try two pills. And then you'll try three pills. And at some point you'll get to like four pills and you'll feel that acidy feeling. And then you can just take some baking soda, nullify it. And what your stomach needs based on your body type and the food you eat on a regular basis is three pills in this instance. And so you'd continue like that for a number of months until you start to maybe feel like you don't need it anymore, or you just attempt to go down and see if you get, you know, the same amount of poops or the same amount of, you know, feeling or whatever.
So you're saying the words betaine HCL, because people are not used to that terminology. And I know that you do have a small special supplement company, and we have a special discount for you if you want to shop for it from Stephen. But what's in the formulation and what's it called?
Yeah, so stomach acid is made up of generally of three things. It's made up of hydrochloric acid, pepsin, which is the protein degrading enzyme, an intrinsic factor. And so our product HCL Guard has all three of those. We are the only company in the world that has all three in the same capsule. There's a lot of other companies that make a hydrochloric acid or betaine HCL with pepsin. And basically you take this with you eat to basically replace or support your stomach acid as you go throughout life. Ours also includes organic ginger and DGL, which again, I believe we are the only company in the world to have a prokinetic inside of the capsule dosed at a manner that is helpful, I think, for most folks who end up switching from other brands to our brand.
So Stephanie, you're a little confused. Is the test taking the HCL Guard and not feeling much and continuing on mean you're good or not good with stomach acid?
So if you can take two pills of HCL Guard or any other betaine HCL product that has 500 milligrams or more, again, there's like other products out there that combine a bunch of digestive enzymes and just a tiny bit of acid, like 100 or 150 milligrams, those don't count. That's not a true test. But if you're taking an appropriate amount of acid and you don't feel anything and you go up to two and you don't feel anything, you have low acid. Now, okay. What's your TMG is a totally different thing. That's trimethylglycine. It's a different trimethylglycine and betaine HCL or betaine HCL are different compounds. You can look them up structurally. People get that confused all the time. So what you're looking for, I don't want you taking any product just to take any product, right? I don't even want people taking vitamin D3 all the time without ever getting their vitamin D levels tested. So what you need to look for test-wise is, are you getting better poops? If you're somebody who's constipated, are your stools less constipated? If you're someone who has diarrhea or loose stools, do you have less bowel movements or are they more formed? If you're someone who has heartburn or burping after meals, do you have less of that? Do you have more energies? If you're getting more amino acids and more B12 from your body, from the actual food going through your body, you should feel something over a number of weeks. If you stay on, usually if someone stays on HCL Guard or some of these other products for like 3 to 6 months, they will notice hair is not falling out as much. It's thicker. Their nails are going to be stronger. They're going to grow faster, less skin reactions and things like that, because essentially you have to have extra amino acids to build those things that we all like. And in order to get those out of our food, the best way to do that is through better stomach acid.
So the other thing that I just want everyone to be thinking about as Stephen's talking about this is digestive enzymes, because for true bioavailability of your food, you know, you need to make sure your enzymes are in good shape too. So Holozyme is the digestive enzyme formulation that Stephen has created. He did not want to create, I've known him for so long, he did not want to create a supplement company. Like, I remember very vividly multiple occasions when I was like, you know, you should really create a supplement company. He's like, I really don't want to, and on and on and on. And so he finally did. And so he doesn't carry a ton and didn't create a ton of different formulations, just some very specific ones. And as he will say, like, if you don't shop for his, that's fine. Just find what works for you. But I did want you to be aware of that. And he did give us a special discount and Clarissa's put it in there. He also has a really nice Facebook community. So once you do choose to try some of his supplements, like, you get support from his health coaches, which I think is so cool, because I don't know any other supplement company that has health coaches standing by to help you with the formulations and dosages and that kind of thing. Can you just touch on Holozyme for everybody and what a digestive enzyme can and can't do for you, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So again, a healthy gut is focused on creating world-class products in areas that a lot of people aren't paying attention to, because as somebody who's been focused on the gut for over 14 years now, I've tried lots of killing protocols on myself as well as other folks. When we had a clinic, I've tried all the coolest, latest and greatest, you know, powder this, colostrum that, probiotic this, postbiotic that. And what I ended up coming back to over and over again is that if the regular organs, if the stomach, if the small intestine are not working properly, everything else we're doing is just like subtly not working and kind of not going to ever really get you there. So you can eat the best diet in the world, but if you don't break that food apart and absorb it, I mean, what did you do all that work for? It sucks, but that's kind of how it works. And so I don't care what diet you're on, from carnivore to vegan. If your digestive enzymes are not working properly, you will be ingesting protein, you'll be ingesting carbohydrate, you'll be ingesting fat. Usually some people are on a totally keto diet, but regardless, you need enzymes to break those down. And then for all types of protein, you need stomach acid. Stomach acid basically denatures protein. What that means, the best analogy is you eat, I don't care if it's a lentil or a piece of meat, the fiber at a 3D molecule is all balled up like this. Stomach acid opens it up like a flower. And then enzymes come in and they cleave off these little pieces and they turn them into dipeptides and tripeptides, which are basically right before an amino acid. Amino acid is one molecule. Your body can't absorb too big of protein structures. And it doesn't matter, if it's meat or vegetable based. And so if you're eating this, you don't have the stomach acid to open it up. Then you have these enzymes that are trying to pick at it, but they can't really get it apart into the right sizes. You end up fermenting it and creating a dysbiotic microbiome later on. There's all kinds of nasty compounds that come from the fermentation of proteins lower in the digestive tract. There's studies on that. It's not good. So stomach acid is the first step in that. And then the second step is enzymes. And you have enzymes that come from your pancreas, and you have enzymes that come from your brush border. And then you have some specialty ones that come from the microbiome. I, like almost every other trained practitioner in the world, was like, yeah, digestive enzymes. Somebody's stressed. Somebody's suffering. Somebody has IBS, IBD, something like that. Their gut's probably not working as well as it should. That makes sense. We should give them enzymes, give their body a rest, break their food down. All this makes sense. The studies make sense. But in practice, it never really worked. And that drove me nuts as somebody who needs enzymes on a daily basis. And it drove me nuts from a recommendation standpoint. I don't like giving recommendations that have a chance of failing. And so when I had a bunch of stress, we had my other business was failing, just bought a house, stage 4 cancer diagnosis, my mother-in-law, there was lots of things going on. All of my gut issues came back a few years ago. And so I reached into my cabinet of tricks and my protocols, and my enzymes weren't working then. And I was back to being fully bloated because I was under all this stress. So I searched the world and found out that the enzymes we create in the lab need a mineral to turn them on. And so you have to have the right mixture of missing enzymes in the pill form, and you have to have a mineral bound in the same pill if you want it to work every time. And so that's what Holozymes is. That's the sort of innovation on Holozymes. And we continue to make it better from our customer group, from our feedback. I think we're over 20 or 30,000 bottles sold, and we're on our 6th formulation. And we keep making it better every time, trying to be the best enzyme product in the world. And it's something that I take every day, because, my gut will never be normal.
But remember, if you have a chronic problem, if you manage it, it can be 100% better in your life experience than an unmanaged chronic condition, whatever your underlying cause is. And not everything can be managed. I certainly understand that. I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but here's the thing, just to answer a couple of the real quick questions. You don't need a special code. It's automatically applied at checkout. And what do you think about this alkaline water? I don't want to call it a trend, but what do you think about alkaline water in relation to this topic, Stephen?
Well, this is like basic chemistry. And so In the world of natural and integrative health and people with chronic issues who are trying to find the answer to things, it's easy to grasp onto things that sound cool and flashy. And so I don't care if you're drinking alkaline water or non-alkaline water, if you're drinking a bunch of liquid, including wine or beer around your meal, you're diluting your stomach acid around your meal. There's a reason why the people who understand digestion say don't drink too much around your meal times, because you're making it harder for your body to make the proper concentration of acid inside your stomach. So drinking alkaline water during the rest of the day, I don't know that there's a lot to it. There's a decent amount of people against it. There's a decent amount of people for it, and there's not that much research on it. So if I only had a couple hundred bucks to spend, I wouldn't be spending it on that, I guess.
Okay. And then somebody was asking about digesting romaine lettuce, seeing like undigested food in your toilet bowl. I want to ask you about that for a second. And then a lot of people are trying to eat more vegetables, raw, et cetera. When you have SIBO, a lot of time, and I'm a vegetarian, like in my book, we were talking about, okay, how do you get these plant-based foods in? You steam them, like you break that fiber down and you do the digestive enzyme. So if you guys are finding food that hasn't been digested properly, maybe you don't have enough stomach acids, things to consider, and maybe you don't have the enzymes to break that food down. So some things for you to consider there.
Yeah. Actually, raw salad, despite it's kind of like kale, everybody gets all excited about that one idea, but it's actually pretty hard to break down. It's kind of like nuts. Nuts are also kind of hard to break down. And so if you're seeing leaves, if you eat leaves and you see leaves in the toilet, that means your digestion is going way too fast. And one of the ways to slow it down is to have better stomach acid and better enzymes.
And what about like lemon water? And then a lot of people are asking about apple cider vinegar.
Sure. So lemon water in the morning, I mean, you're probably getting some phytonutrients. You might be getting a little vitamin C. I doubt it's actually doing much for the rest of your body. If it's a great ritual, you love it, it tastes great, you feel healthier because of the placebo effect and because you're taking care of your body, continue doing it and disregard anything else I say. But if you're struggling to do it, you don't like doing it. I don't like the taste of it that much. I like other citrus in my water, things like that. And, or I just forget to do it all the time. I don't think you're losing much. There's not that much on it. Apple cider vinegar, however, there's a little bit more that we could draw upon there. Apple cider vinegar is about a 2.6, I believe, on the pH scale. Remember earlier, I said, we want our stomach to get down to a 2 or less on a regular basis. So I believe apple cider vinegar is like 2.6. A can of Coke, regular full sugar, is I think a 2.5 or a 2.45. And so in the southern United States, where my grandma was raised, when they had an upset tummy, and when I had one as a kid, she would be like, oh, you need a Coke. And honestly, it would help. And I would also see kids in college who were hungover drinking Coke.
Right.
So apple cider vinegar can be helpful. It is a powerful acid that's helping to lower the acidification if you struggle personally to make acid. However, it's a 2.6. It's not going to get you below 2 because the dilutive properties in a liquid already, it might be helpful, but it's not going to be the same as taking a betaine HCL supplement. So I'm not anti-ACV, but it's not the same. Just make sure you know that, make sure to play with it. And if you talk with your dentist about drinking ACV on a regular basis, they might get a little annoyed with you because it can strip the enamel.
Yes, I have a big biological dental summit coming up. So you'll definitely want to find out more about that. It's super important. Katarina is saying, what's the difference between holozyme and tributyrin? So to explain what tributyrin is. So we've talked about three things, which is, do you have the bottles of the HCL, holozyme, and tributyrin? I just want to make sure you all understand. When you go to the link, there's a lot of great information on Stephen's site. And when you check out, the discount is applied automatically. So there's no code or anything. So there's the HCL guard.
So right? HCL has a yellow band on it. This is the stomach support formula. This is the one we've been talking about mostly throughout the webinar, the call here today. Holozyme is the black bottle. This is the, you know, world's most advanced digestive enzymes, if you ask me. This is for breaking down your food. It's also can be used systemically to help you if you have inflammation, pain, high uric acid, things like that. And then Tributyrin X is a advanced butyrate. So it's a white bottle, totally different name. So Butyrates is a totally different topic that we are definitely going to cover this year on this channel. But when people say eat more vegetables, there's a lot of cool nutrients in vegetables, phytonutrients, things like that. One of the best things about vegetables is they contain fermentable fibers. And that is really bad for you if you have bloating. But if you can use enzymes, if you can use stomach acid support to get around the bloating, it's really important because our microbiome has to have something to eat. And that thing to eat is typically vegetable matter or fruit matter. So the parts of the cell after you take the nutrients out. From that, your microbiome makes postbiotics. Postbiotics is like their poop, basically. It's what they give off. And one of the most important postbiotics is butyrate, butyric acid. In fact, I would say that butyrate is the keeper of the gut. It's the keeper of the microbiome. Without butyrate, your chance of every chronic disease goes up. It will be the focus of the next 10 years of gut research. So butyrate, butyric acid, the microbiome species that create butyrate will be the future of a lot of gut stuff. And I believe they're the keepers of sort of keeping the gut healthy and capable. But they can't live unless you break down your food in your stomach, unless you break down your food in your small intestine, because they don't get the food they need to live. And so that's kind of the problem with the whole thing.
So if you have SIBO and you have this for small intestine bacterial overgrowth, which is the number one underlying cause of IBS, if you have fermentable fibers, we all have fermentable fibers, right? So just to oversimplify it, you want to be taking digestive enzymes to help break down those nutrients so that you can absorb them more. And this is a much bigger conversation. So I just wanted to let you know that when you click the link for the replay of this talk today, and we will be sending it out, and can't believe how fast this flew by. We have a variety of other talks from Stephen that we've done over time. And so you will see a talk on tributarin X, and you will see it's related to leaky gut. And that was the last talk that we did, as I recall, right? Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And the different levels of the mucous membrane of the intestine, and the new research that's been emerging that Stephen's been helping to get the word spread about. So when you go to see this replay, because we are going to be, I have a heart out at 4 today, unfortunately, but actually 5 minutes before that. So when you do see the other things that Stephen's been talking about, it's also going to be posted on the SIBO SOS, it's SIBO like space SOS YouTube channel. So you can see a ton of his other stuff there too. One thing about the pH is that, remember, different parts of your body have different pH levels. So it's not just about being one number. You've got a whole, like the microbiomes, a whole sliding scale all over your body. I just wanted to mention that. Carla's saying that tributarin X has literally changed her stools from loose to and mushy to formed. That's fantastic. That's so great. Claire, anything you can do to support your digestion with no gallbladder is always a good idea. And Stephen, what else do you want people to know about stomach acid so that we can walk away with a baseline awareness? One thing I'll just say is that I think it's one of the most underestimated contributing factors to poor digestive health and ultimately, therefore, health in general. So,
yeah, I would say a couple more things to like walk away from this talk thinking about. One is that your stomach acid is sort of the speed governor of your digestive tract, and it can speed it up too fast and it can slow it down too much. It's based on your individual gut and your individual nutrition. So the symptoms are the same, just like they are with like acid reflux and having too high of acid in some cases, you know, 10 to 20% of the time, and low acid other times. Constipation and diarrhea can still be low stomach acid. And so I think people get that confused a lot. And so if you're thinking about ways to slow your digestion down or speed it up, I prefer to start at the top. So that includes, you know, somebody asked earlier, like, how do I make more stomach acid? Number one, do not be stressed when you're eating. Remember, and smell. Remember, I said you have to smell your food. The smell begins to transfer down your nervous system into your mast cells. Your mast cells release histamine, a few other things, some other hormones get triggered off. And then your stomach starts to acidify prior to the food ending up in your stomach. So if you want better stomach acid, if you want better digestion in general, and it's probably because of this one specific thing, be relaxed, say a prayer, say gratitude, and smell like you go, you know, like sniff your food if you have to, like get into it a little bit, appreciate it. And that will literally trigger hormone releases that will help you make stomach acid. The last thing I think it's very important that we all remember, the acid not only breaks down that LPS that's coming from your oral microbiome, but it also breaks down other bacterial, viral, bad bugs coming into our body. It should be no surprise when you begin to think about how common the story goes. I went on vacation to Mexico. I went on vacation to Bali. I went on vacation even to Florida, who knows, somewhere different than where you live with different bugs, different, like it literally has a different environment. And then you were maybe drinking, you were maybe, having a bunch of different stuff, and you got infected with something there. A lot of times that has to do with your stomach acid not breaking down that bug. There's a lot of other factors, so it's not just stomach acid related, but just remember that your stomach acid is also part of your immune system.
Very good. That's exactly right. That's really, really important, because think about it. You're taking in whatever it is from the outside through your mouth, and it's going into your stomach. And then that acid is there to help break down the nutrients, but also to protect you from parasites and poisons, basically. So that is a really, really important role. And I'm so glad you said that, because it's a basic connect the dot thing where we don't always think about that. If you have a question about Dr. Mark Pimentel, who is the leading researcher in the world, an amazing person for SIBO and IBS. He, I know, has some big announcements at the Digestive Disease Week coming up this late spring. And we haven't booked our time with him to hopefully do a conversation with him. That's on my agenda. And if you go to the YouTube channel, SIBO space SOS, we have his talks there, along with Stevens and some other very special people. So you can get some clarity around that. And I'm going to ask him more about stomach acid and SIBO later on this year. Okay. I unfortunately have to go. That was the fastest one we've ever done. But I have a proposal for you, Stephen, and I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot. Is that okay?
Okay.
What I'd like to do is grab some of these excellent questions, get them to you, and see if you would just do a little recording answering some of them. And then when we send the recording out, and we can put it on our YouTube channel, we can maybe cover some more territory, because I absolutely was not expecting so many questions today. Would that be possible?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I know there's like 50 to 100 questions here. So yeah, let's put them in a document and send them over to me, and I'll do my best to get them out to everybody. At the end of the day, the number one thing you could take away from this talk is try the BTN-HCL challenge. I don't care if it's HCL Guard or someone else's product. Like, the amount of people I've talked to who've gone 5-10 years in this industry, working with doctors, working with qualified people, being on shows like this, who have not even attempted the challenge only to have like a massive breakthrough, is just mind blowing to me. It's so simple, and you can find out in a month or less for less than $50. Just give it a shot, please.
That sounds great. So I know there's some questions about pregnancy and the like. I'm going to let Stephen take those on. And Clarissa, behind the scenes, can you grab all these goodies and throw them into a G-Doc and send them on over to Stephen and CC me? I'd really appreciate it. I do have plans to have Stephen back next month, thank goodness. So in the meanwhile, watch the recording, watch the other questions that he's going to be putting together for you. Go to the YouTube channel, as well as when you do get the recording, you'll see the rest of the presentations that Stephen's done for us over time. I really appreciate you all spending some time with us. Take a breath. Let's all just take a breath. Getting those ribs, shake it out, because this is a lot of information. Smell that food. That's right. Be like your kitty cat and smell that food. Be like, what is this, Mom? I don't know. Oh, I like it. there's a lot to this. And I know people, from my own experience with gut health issues, hypervigilance and anxiety can absolutely be a barrier to healing because we will tend to get analysis paralysis. And I just want to ask you to wear it loosely and to relax into it and lean into it, as well as simultaneously being okay with being uncomfortable with it. It's a weird state, right, Stephen? But when you can really be in that place of relaxed activity and active relaxation, I have found from my own personal experience that things go better. That's what I want to leave you with today. Okay. And a big appreciation for you all being here. Thank you so much. It's such an honor. All right. Love you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon. Bye. Oh, Stephen, the team wants us to do a two-shot smiling. Are you ready? One, two, three. I'm such a cornball. They really want that. Okay.